Right. Dan Gray has been doing a series of strengthening or developing our spiritual muscles. And I believe the idea is that we're supposed to grow because of it. You ever notice that I got a pocket knife in my pocket, and I bought this thing. It cost about $12 or $8 maybe. But if I use that thing a lot, it doesn't get any better. Did y'all know that? It wears out. And that's what happens with almost anything you make or anything that's not alive. But a human's different. If a human uses themselves, we get better. Like our brains, if we don't use our brains, they atrophy. Or atrophy or something like that, and they die off. Same way with physical exercise. If I don't use my arms and my legs and that sort of thing, I get worse instead of better. But if I do, if I have all that stress and all that strain and effort, then I get stronger. And the idea behind this class, I think, is that if we exercise spiritual types of behaviors, then we get stronger and better from that and not worse. But I've always had a hard time with the idea of spiritual, and it might have been from maybe my young days thinking that heaven is a place where you sit on a cloud and play a harp and don't have a body. And those type of things always scared me, thinking about heaven like that. And so it's kind of been hard for me to understand what spiritual means. So if I develop my spiritual muscles, what does that look like? I mean, what you can't look at a spiritual bicep and figure that out. We got to know what it would some of y'all educate me on that? What is spiritual? What is spiritual? I guess I'm asking for a definition. When we talk about doing, you know, we won't have a physical body, but we'll have a spiritual body. I've heard that before. I'm not totally sure that's completely true, but I've heard that before. Now that scares me, Richard, when you start talking like that. Pardon me? Different dimension kind of deal? All right. Thank you. What's your idea of develop? When you think about developing a spiritual muscle, now, Dan's been talking about it for several weeks now. Have y'all got it clear what he's talking about? That sounded a lot like Terrence. Pardon?
Everybody seems stumped.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. They're stumped because I'm going to ask them to explain it. So go ahead.
It seems to me that one of the examples he was using is that he was turning away. He didn't want to do the class, and then all of a sudden he says, why am I not doing this? So if we don't use it, like you said, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Richard. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Where I finally got to with it is that the spiritual is hard for me to understand except as it's manifested in the physical, except that I can see it some way or the other. And when we're talking about developing our spiritual muscles, to me is I'm looking for an outcome of my life somehow or another that's manifested in either thoughts or behaviors, and so that I get stronger in those areas. And And I've done a lot of thinking about spirit and soul and mind and brain and those type of things. You know, you can talk about having a brain. So if you can talk about having one, that means you're not one. You ever thought of that? Well, and you can talk about having a mind. Well, if I can talk about owning a mind, then I must not be a mind. Well, so who am I? I don't know. But I can talk to myself. And then also I can talk to myself about myself. You get lost in all that. But when we talk about a spirit, here's where I've got to with it in my limited view of it. There's a spirit of, have you ever sung the song, "There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place"? Yeah. Have you ever heard of a spirit of anger? Or a spirit of love? Or a spirit of this, that, or the other? What those are outcomes of a certain way of life. And if you have a pencil and want to write these down, here's the outcome that I want to have as a result of flexing my spiritual muscles. I'd like to have some patience. I'd like to have some kindness. I'd like to have some goodness. I'd like to have faithfulness. I'd like for it to result in self-control. I want to have peace. I'd like to have joy in my life. And I'd like to have love in my life. I want all those things in my life. And we're actually promised to get them as God followers through Jesus. We're promised that. Listen to this, what Galatians says. He just happened to talk about that. He calls them fruits of the Spirit, which is the same thing I called an outcome of a certain way of living. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there's no law. Well, that, I think, is the outcome of this exercising our spiritual muscles that Dan's been talking about. So I want to have those in my life in increasing measure, and when I do, my life goes better. And it demonstrates a closer walk with God, I believe. So anything I do to produce those is actually developing my spiritual muscles the way I interpret it. You know, the difficulty I've had with following God is I can't see Him. That's one of the things that has caused me trouble in my life. The other thing that caused me trouble is what He's asking me to do is many times counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense, the things that He asked me to do. And so I've got to get to a different way of thinking about things in order for it to make sense for me to do the things that He's actually asking me to do. And we're going to review a few of those things here in just a minute. But I'd like to start with our spiritual exercises tonight. Timothy, I'm just going to read you this real quick, what he said to Timothy. Paul told Timothy, who was a young man, in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, he said, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, but rather train yourself to be godly." Which means, I take that to mean that with training, I can get better. And I think it's a mistake for a God-following Christian person to constantly run themselves down on how terrible they are when we're promised to get better if we have training. And he's saying, train yourself to be godly. Because physical training, physical exercise profiteth little is the way I learned that. But for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So my interpretation of that is that if I learn how to be godly, it'll help me right now. But here's where I believe it starts. You know, I learned a little saying several years ago that said, be careful of your thoughts. because your thoughts become words. Be careful of your words because your words become actions. And be careful of your actions because your actions become habits. And be careful of your habits because they develop your character. And be careful of your character because that determines your destiny. So, if we want to have any control or power over how we turn out, what do we need to start with? Our thoughts. So, all of these exercises that Dan has talked about over the weeks have to start with thoughts. Did you know that we actually create reality? Did you ever think of that? First time I heard somebody say that, I thought they were really goofy. We actually create reality. And I'll give you a simple illustration to prove it. Three umpires are talking together. One of them says, "I call them like I see them." Other says, "Well, I don't. I call them like they are." And the third fella says, "They ain't nothing till I call them." That umpire creates reality because it's nothing until he says it's something. That's kind of the way God is, and it's also, to a large degree, how we are. We create reality by the thoughts that we have, because nothing hardly comes to pass that a human makes without thinking about it first. And if you don't think about it, it's likely to not happen. So we're trained on what to think about. And our thinking actually becomes this exercising our spiritual muscles, because everything else comes from our thinking. Ain't that a neat thought? So we are actually in charge of writing our own book for our lives in a way, because we can determine a lot of what happens to us by how we think. Agree with that or disagree with that? I believe it that way. You become who you are by how you think. Right. Say it again. Yeah. Here's what I read in Proverbs, I believe. I love this. "A noble man makes noble plans, and by noble deeds he stands." Isn't that a good thought? That's in the Bible. Well, so our future lives aren't anything actually until they happen, and then they happen lots of times as a result of the thoughts that we have. I live in a real pretty house, and it's my wife's fault. When I got married to her in 1984, and somewhere along those lines, we said to one another, or we agreed, that if it ever got to where we could have the type of house Lindy wanted if we could have it where I wanted it. And so in the course of time, but she thought about that thing for about 20 years. And it ended up being way different than I had it envisioned. However, she designed a beautiful house. And it came right out of her mind. And I was just blown away by that. How can you visualize and envision everything down to the detail like that, and it turn out to be such a really neat thing? Well, it's the same thing. All of us do that kind of thing all the time, maybe just different degree or a different thing. You know, take this for instance. How is it possible for a human to walk through a grassy field and a bunch of birds get up out there, and you raise a shotgun and you point out that direction, and somehow or another you do all those calculations in about a half a second? What you got to do is you got to figure out at what angle the bird's rising, what's the momentum of the bird, but not only what's the momentum, but what's the acceleration of the bird. And also, you got to find out, you got to determine how fast is the shot going to leave the barrel of the gun, how long does it take you to pull the trigger of the gun, and where does your barrel need to go, because you got to know how far away the bird is so that you can figure out some way, maybe 40 yards down the way, the shot intersects with the bird. If you do any hunting, you understand, you know. But it's impossible to do, right? No. People do it all the time and don't even think about it. Boop, there it is. Well, that is an amazing event right there, and humans are just able to do that so quickly. Well, it all starts with a thought. Well, so our thoughts actually determine our outcomes in many cases. So the Bible teaches us what to think. And I'd like to, for you to turn there if you have a Bible. Here we're going to exercise our spiritual muscles in a minute, and the Bible teaches us how to think. It's in Philippians. Philippians 4. He says, think about these things right here. And it's in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, you could write that down on a little old card and carry it around with you in your pocket for the rest of your life, and read that and just do that, and you do pretty good. Because our thoughts may have a lot to do with how we turn out. And this, here's what he's telling us to do. Exercise these types of thinking, this type of thinking. So there's number one thing we can do to exercise our spiritual muscles. We can think the right stuff. Because when we're thinking the wrong things, we have the wrong outcome in lots of cases. Well, it doesn't stop with thoughts because you got to be careful of your thoughts because they become words and then your words become actions. And so in exercising these spiritual muscles, we're called to behave in certain ways, right? Don't you know that a Christian is called to act different than you were before you were a Christian? We're supposed to behave different, do different things. And a lot of them are counterintuitive. And I've seen this in myself, and I've seen it in jillions of people. For instance, we would like to have some peace and happiness. So I get to thinking about that. Well, I'd like to have peace, and I'd like to have happiness. And I pass by a food bar that's full of blueberry pie and Bluebell ice cream. And I get to thinking, that is what's going to get me peaceful and happy. And it just jumps up and jumps into my mouth all on its own. Well, what's the matter with me? Or I get to thinking, you know, there's a misperception among people about drunks and alcoholics that they're trying to kill themselves. Most are not. I worked for a long time with a recovering addict and alcoholic. And he'd tell me this. He said, look, I wasn't trying to kill myself. He said, if I go into a liquor store and get me a fifth of Jack Daniels or whatever I've got, and I go out in my convertible with my sweet patootie around my arm, he said, I'm not fixing to kill myself. I'm fixing to live a little. Reckon why they call alcohol spirits. What do you think? It might be in an effort to get happy. So I have all these things that I intuitively think might make me happy, but the end result is disaster when I do my own thinking around that. My dad died a couple years ago, or a year and a half ago or so. He's 86. But he just told me some wonderful stuff. We had some great conversations when he was in his lower times. But he was lying in the hospital bed one day, and he'd been thinking about stuff. And he said, you know, all these attractions we have to these various addictions. He said, those things promise something. They have some kind of promise to them, and they never deliver. So our own thinking then sets us up to fail and get destroyed if we just depend on our own thinking for these actions. So in order to have some peace and happiness, what we're suggesting here is let's read in the Bible and see what they want us to do. And if we do that, that is exercising our spiritual muscles. So let's do a Bible lesson for the next 9 minutes or so. To put aside our instinctive behaviors and to seek the will of God is the same thing as developing our spiritual muscles. So, what is the will of God for us? All right, number one, it's to think certain things, right? And we have certain outcomes because of it. If we think these various things, we end up having the fruits that we talked about, love, joy, peace, kindness. Then it's also to behave in certain ways. And if you have a Bible and want to, let's do Ephesians 1. Let's turn to, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 tells us some things to do. And here would be my suggestion on how to read these. If you read the Bible and think you're never going to get better, it's too discouraging and you're liable to not try. If you focus too much on how sorry you are and how small you are compared to how God is, what we do is negate the power of God to change us. So let's read these with the aim toward doing them and see if God gives us the power to do them better than we were doing them. And see if it doesn't make a big difference in the outcome of our lives. And that is exercising these muscles we're talking about. Well, Paul says to do one thing. He said, put on a new self and put off your old self. In other words, become a different person. But the way you do it is you change the way you act. So let's go through some things way we're supposed to act as Christian people. And what we're supposed to train ourselves in. Well, verse 25, Ephesians 4. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Now, how hard's that? Have you ever tried being brutally honest? How easy is that? Have you ever said to yourself, I'm never going to cut a corner again? I'm not going to fudge. I'm not going to have a crutch. I'm not going to hold back anything in order to protect myself. What do you think would happen to you if you did that? Well, he's actually asking us to do that. Put off falsehood and speak truthfully to our neighbor because we're all members of one body. Anybody pretty good at that? Anyone? Anybody good at telling the truth? Nobody wants. Are you good at that, Ken? All right, me too. I'm way better. I've actually made a commitment to myself that I'm not going to cut corners anymore. I don't ever want to sin again. Did y'all know that? I really don't. I want God to be proud of me. I want to do these things that it's asking me to do. In your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And don't give the devil a foothold. Hey, if you've been stealing, quit. Did you know that stealing time is stealing just like stealing $100 is? So if you've agreed with the person you work for to work 8 hours, shoot, just work 8 hours. Just go ahead and do that. We can do that and have a better outcome. Work. All right. Don't steal, but work. Doing something useful with your own hands so that you'll have something to share with those in need. I've been exposed, working down near downtown Houston, I've been exposed to a fairly steady stream of people who come up to me saying they don't have any money and they wish they had some of mine. And in fact, I had a guy ask me for $1 million one time. It's hilarious. I mean, I was amazed at that guy. Almost made me want to give him $5 just because he was so optimistic about it. He was a possibility thinker. He was sitting there at a bus stop and he said, "Sir, could you spare $1 million? I said, $1 million? He said, "Please." Anyway, we ought to work so that we have something to share. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. What a good piece of info that is. You know, Christians are encouraging people. Christians are people who build the other guy up. And one of my buddies told me one time, he said, "Nathan, anytime I think of anything good to say to somebody, I tell it to them right then." What a good piece of, and I try to follow that, my own self. If I can think of something good, I say it right then. And don't even think about it, because opportunity will pass, no doubt, in the world, and it might be they're gone, and you don't ever get a chance. And I'll tell you something else. A word, it carries extreme power. Words are really, really powerful. And so when we use our words to build other people up, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Sometimes it's the difference between them dying and them living. Most of the time it's not, but almost always it has a hope of building up their spirit. So big deal. Don't let unwholesome words come out of our mouths. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Here's something else, verse 31, get rid of all bitterness. What about resentments? Resentments just kill us. Resentment. That means to feel again and again and again and again as if it were still happening right now. But get rid of this bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, and along with every form of malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And I guess it goes on and on and on about how God's holy people ought to live. Don't be immoral. Don't be greedy. Be pure. Yes, sir, Richard. Yeah, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is thoughts, which has to do with thoughts. So I don't think we have to be thinking about spiritual things as if they're kind of halfway voodoo or halfway where you can't get a handle on it. I think we can think about it in terms of these things we're talking about here. What's the outcome of how we think, and what's the outcome of how we behave? And it ends up close to the middle of chapter 5 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is where we're all leading to. We're submitted to God. And so the things that give us the security and the confidence to do the things he's asking us to do, see, there's some risk involved in being compassionate with people. There's some risk involved with being kind to people, and to speaking good words when you feel like speaking ugly words. But the thing that gives us the confidence of that is just this faith that we have in God. I mean, why would I want to say something ugly to God if God's asked me not to, and he says it's going to be okay if you don't? I mean, why would I say something ugly to somebody if God's asking me not to? You know, and so our temptations to do wrong reduce as our faith increases. And I guess our faith increases, I'm trying to say that our faith increases as we do the kind of things that are written here. Our faith increases as our thoughts change and our faith increases as our behaviors change, and our temptations to do the wrong stuff start going away. That's kind of what we're promised. We're promised that in this life in addition to the life to come. And I think I can personally attest that when I'm walking in that direction, my life is much, much better. Even if my circumstances haven't changed all that much, my internal life has changed a lot, and that makes a big difference. So that's about all I have to say about that. So thank you for your attention. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for letting us be here. We're real grateful for everyone in this building and for letting us be a group of your people here tonight and learn what you'd have us do. And thank you for all the promises associated with it. And thank you for being so specific with us about what we can do to please you and what we can do to enjoy these fruits of the Spirit we talked about. And we want to be shining lights to our families, and we want to be lights in the world to where you are extremely attractive to those who are attractable to you. And we ask your help in that, and we thank you for growing us. And it's through Christ we pray. Amen.